6. So I just got a couple of verses here this morning. By the way, in the evenings this month, we're dealing with the parables, and we'll be meeting in the foyer. The services will be 45 minutes. Who likes that? So it's mainly a teaching time, and we have a number of people in the evening services who are doctors speaking on parables out of Luke, and Luke was a doctor. But these doctors are not medical doctors that we have. They are theologians, New Testament doctors, so forth and so on. So they're coming out in the evenings. So our first one tonight is the parable of the Good Samaritan. So you're most welcome. But here we are, and Luke, of course, has written this book as well, this book of Acts. And we're up to verse 6, so let me read. And says this, "So when they met together, they asked him, 'Lord Jesus, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' And he said to them, 'It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.'" So these are our verses this morning. So let us pray. Our God, we come together and we ask that you teach us how to be church. I wonder if someone could just deal with that over there. Thank you. So we come, Lord, to you this morning, and we ask that you teach us how to be church. You teach us from your word. You teach us how to worship. On these Sundays, we come essentially to worship you and to hear from you, that we might be strengthened both by grace and by your word for the coming week, for the sake of other people that we meet during this week. So we pray this in your wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Okay, I have a question. The question is this: what will you be doing December 21st, 2012? What will you be doing December 21? The reason why I ask this, who knows the significance of the date December 21? Yes, Joe. That's right. If you didn't know, that is going to be the end of the world as we know it. Okay, December 21. In other words, have you heard of the Mayan civilization? M-A-Y-A-N. They were an ancient civilization, and they were forever coming up with calendars. In fact, they came up with 17 calendars. In one of the calendars that they came up with, the calendar runs out December 21. It just runs out. And so when people saw this in this Mayan calendar, they started to think, well, maybe that's when this world will come to an end. And of course, Hollywood picked up on this. So what was the movie that came out? Who's seen it? Show of hands. Just a few of us. Yeah. So if you didn't see this movie, in this movie it shows how a whole lot of cataclysmic astronomical events occur in the movie in the year 2012, and the end of the world as we know it comes to an end. And water features in the movie. In other words, there's going to be another big, massive flood to bring the world as we know it to an end. And so this last week, the scientific community, did you read this? The scientific community, they are also interested in dates and times at the end of time. And so they're now predicting that if global warming continues as it is, then sometime in the future, there will be a rise in the world's waters by 22 metres. So that means the buildings down near the viaduct, the tall buildings, will be standing out of water. The good news is it's probably not going to happen on December 21st. So my point this morning is this, is that there are so many people now who are interested in the so-called end times. How many people here have read the books Left Behind series, the Left Behind series? Personally, I think they should all be trashed. That's my personal view. I think they're erroneous material. I think they're building on half-truths and half-statements. But did you know that that particular series that comes out of the United States, 7 of the 16 books were New York Times bestsellers? So it seems to me that, you know, we are living in a time when people are really interested about dates and times, especially with the end of time. And you see, in this passage here, we have the disciples of Jesus also interested in this topic. And they come to Jesus and say, you know, when is the nation of Israel going to be restored? In other words, when is there going to be justice and peace and liberation for this nation of Israel? They're asking for a date and a time. And what does Jesus do in this passage? What does he do? He doesn't say that what they're asking is unimportant, but what he does say in this passage is that there is something more important. Okay? So the thing that he says in this passage is that you are going to change the world. He said this world as we know it can be changed. And then he goes on and says, you are the means. And what he actually says is, you know something to be true, and you have experienced it as true, so I now want you to carry that which you know to be true and have experienced to be true. I want you to carry it to other people and be my, what does it say in the text? Witnesses. And at this, everybody freezes. Is that right? Everybody freezes. Because really what Jesus is saying to us this morning is likewise. You know something to be true. We've experienced it as truth. And I want you to carry it to people on your street, to people in your workplaces, to people in your extended families who don't yet know it to be true. I want you to carry it to other people. And when you do these sorts of topics in churches, everybody freezes. Now, there are two groups of people that freeze. First group are non-Christians. They freeze at this point. And the second group are Christians. So I'm going to deal with them in that order. Okay, so the first group that frees at this point are non-Christians. You know, there's a person in Sydney, and this person, he's a scholar, a Christian scholar, and he's a pastor. So those two sometimes belong together. And this particular Anglican minister, he was at a cafe, and he was with a member of his church. So they're in this cafe in Sydney, and the minister, he is such an enthusiastic person about evangelism. There I've said it, the E word. And he's so enthusiastic about people carrying that which they know to be true and experienced as true to other people. So he was enthusiastically, vocally, somewhat loudly communicating this at a cafe to a member of his church. And as he was doing this, the Sydney Anglican minister, he noticed that there was someone at the other table, intently looking at them as these two were having this conversation. So this Anglican minister who goes by the name of John, he thought to himself, oh, that other person who's listening intently, looking intently, they must also be a Christian, and so they're really listening to our conversation. So he carried on. Just, it got to a point that the person at the other cafe table, she came up and with pointed finger said to this Anglican minister, how dare you? Who do you think you are? What gives you the right to think that you can take what you know to be true and experienced as true to other people? And she walked off in a storm. Now, that was a non-Christian who said that to him. If she stayed, what would you say in reply? So she, the non-Christian, said, how dare you? What gives you the right to carry what you think is true to other people? What gives you the right to do that? What would you say in reply? Tell the person next to you. Okay, friends, here we go. Do you get the question? I think it's a fair enough question. I think that's a fair enough question, and you do hear it. And non-Christians do, understandably, and rightly so, they do ask, what gives you the right? If I was in that situation, I'm now going to tell you what I would say. And it goes like this. And where I'm coming from is this. If I asked you another question, what do you think is the most basic Christian belief? Of all of our beliefs, what do you think is the most basic Christian belief? See, I haven't even asked you to talk and you're talking. You're getting this stuff. You're becoming talkers. What is the most basic Christian belief? Yeah, and more specifically, not that just God exists, that God is? Yes. 2 weeks ago, what was my topic? You won't remember this. What was the topic? That God is? I'm giving you the huge hint. That God is? That God is one. That God is one. In other words, the point is this. Now listen, people, this is very important. The most basic Christian belief is that God is one. In other words, there is only one God in the universe. There are no other gods. There is only one deity in the universe. There's no God of Islam, with all due respect. There's no God of Hinduism, with all due respect. There's no God behind Buddhism, with all due respect. Those are man-made, human-made. There is only one God, and one God only. And given that there is only one God, each person in this world has a duty to worship that one God. And they must be given an opportunity to therefore hear about that God and belong to that God. And they'll only get that opportunity if you carry that which you know to be true and have experienced to be true to other people. Did you get that? And then if a non-Christian says to me, what gives you the right to say that there is only one God? I simply say to the person this. I say, I didn't write this stuff. Don't blame me. It's in Scripture. I didn't write it. You don't have to believe in it, but I'm just being faithful to that which I believe. I'd like you to believe. So we carry this to non-Christians because there's only one God. There's no other God. There's no other deity in the universe. Did you get that? So non-Christians freeze at the idea of evangelism, but Christians also freeze. We do. Those of us who are Christians here this morning, we freeze, don't we? Let's be honest. And we go, oh no, Mick is going to be talking on the E-word this morning. I'll leave here feeling condemned and guilty. So even in Christian circles, people freeze at this idea of carrying as witnesses that which we know and have experienced to be true. So if you ask me, how do we carry? I say there's three ways. Okay? We carry this through word, through deed, and get this one, people, we carry it also through silence. Can I have a sigh of relief on the last two? But the first one is through, what did I say? Through word. In other words, I do honestly believe that many in the Christian church have lost their tongues. They've lost their nerve. That we don't speak up when an opportunity arises. Am I right or am I right? Who would feel that would be a true statement, that we've kind of basically lost our nerve a bit? Yes? It is difficult to speak up, especially in New Zealand these days and Australia. It is difficult. I appreciate that. But it can also be a lot of fun. And some of you look as though you need more fun in your lives. So, I mean, I was in Australia just not last week, but the week before. I just flew over for a day, as you do. And so I flew and I had to speak to a bunch of pastors and leaders. And so halfway through the day, there was a break. And during the break, someone came up and they said, Mick, can I have a chat with you? And I'm going, rats, this is a break. But anyway, being the gracious person that I am, I said, yes, please do. Yeah, let's have a chat. So he said to me these words. He said, oh, Mick, he said, I'm not a Christian. I thought, this is a pastors and Christian leaders conference. So he says, no, I'm not a Christian. So I said, what brings you here? And he says, oh, well, actually, I work with a Christian organization. And that's why I'm here. But he said, I'm not a Christian. This guy said this, you see. So, you know, I mean, this is fun. I wish I could persuade you. So I said to this guy with a twinkle in my eye, I said, so you said that you're not a Christian. I mean, you volunteered that. And he said, yes. And I said, it's absolutely amazing. You know, I'd love to hear your story. So he shared part of his story. And then I said, do you mind if I probe a little bit deeper? So I asked for an invite. And he said, yeah, go for it. And I said, what do you think of Jesus, actually? I mean, what do you think of this Jesus character? Now, I didn't know this guy. Mick, he said, do you know anything about Mahatma Gandhi? And I said, yeah, I've actually read and researched Mahatma Gandhi. And so he said, oh, Mahatma Gandhi was a really good guy. I said, yes, he was. And then he said, I have Jesus in the same bracket. That's what he said. You know, Jesus is a good guy. Well, I couldn't resist it at this point. Do you know what I mean? So smiling on my dial, you know, with a good heart, you know, not trying to win an argument, but genuinely addressing his statements. So there was a whiteboard nearby, and I said, would you mind if I use the whiteboard at this point? So he said, yep, go for it. So do you do this? Do you carry a whiteboard around with you wherever you go? So I just put up Mahatma Gandhi's name on the whiteboard and I said, you're saying this guy's good. He said, yes. So I put good. And then I put the big JC, Jesus Christ, good. He said, yes, good. I said, Jesus was good. But if you go by what Jesus said about himself, and you know this stuff, guys, he was surely more than good. I mean, because Jesus himself said that he was the God of Israel come to earth as God. And if you've seen me, you have seen. So Jesus was saying he is God. So I said this to this guy. So I said, if Jesus is telling the truth there, then he's more than good. And he is asking you to worship him. But if Jesus is telling lies at this point about himself, then he's a liar and he's not good. And if Jesus is just a crazy man, then he's mad and he's not good. Now, you all know this stuff. So then I said to this guy, you're in a bind. You cannot just limit Jesus to being good. So I said, what are you going to do about that? And he said, I'm going to see you in a month's time, Mick. Which he is, actually. And so we'll continue the conversation. He said, have you got a book about this stuff? I said, yep, I'll bring it with me. You get it? Through word. Speak up. Okay? Secondly, through deed. I mean, through the word one. I'm just thinking, should I say this or shouldn't I? I mean, I don't know if I've shared it here. I did a Tear Fund tour, and there was a music band. Have I shared this story? And there was a music band, and we were traveling through the country. Have I shared this? Traveling through the country, and we got to this place, and we thought it was about time we had something to eat, so we stopped at this cafe, and then we sat down, and this woman came up from behind the counter at the cafe, and she said, oh, where are you guys from? Have I shared this here? Have I? You would have forgotten anyway. And I said, oh, I'm from Auckland. And this was down in Waikanae, by the way, down in Waikanae. And she rolled her eyes. And then the musos that were with me, she said, oh, where are you guys from? And they said, Australia. And she was interested at that point. And then she started to go on about how the girls in New Zealand are very attractive. And she went on and on in graphic detail, you see. I mean, she overshared. And so then she said, oh, what are your orders? So she took down our orders. She went back out into the kitchen. And then she came back out later with the food. And she was putting the food plates down in front of each one of us. And then she says, and what do you guys do? Because she didn't know it by this point. So she said, what do you guys do? And no one spoke up. No one. So I thought, why isn't anybody one speaking up? So I counted off the seconds, and I counted to 20, and I thought, stuff it, I'll have to do it, you know. So, you know, I said, oh, actually, we're Christians. And she said, no. And I said, oh, yes, we are, we're Christians. We follow someone called Jesus Christ, and we've just shared at a church. She said, no. And I said, yes. And she said, no. And because you know what she was doing? She's replaying the tape of how she overshared in terms of graphic detail about girls in New Zealand. Did you get that? So she said, no. I said, yes. The thing is, why didn't anybody speak up? See, we have lost our tongues. So she came back later to clear up all the plates. And then once she cleared them up, she came back as we were about to go and she sat down. And she said, can I tell you my story? And she downloaded her story. So I said, look, I've got a couple of books I've written. I'd love to give them to you. And the muso said, look, you can have some of our CDs as well. And it was just a great, but no one spoke up. But the whole thing was a lot of fun. Are you with me? Can you do it? Secondly, here's the second one. The second one is through, what was it? Deed. Now, some of us really like this, but it's both and, not either or. Deed. Do you remember the story I told? I have told it this year. Do you remember the story that we told about this policeman? And I'm going to tell some stories over and over and over and over and over again. And there was this policeman, and he was involved in a car accident. And he had a five-year-old child, and his name was Tim. And after the hospitalization, they brought him home, and the little five-year-old looked at his dad and thought, wow, he is so beaten up, bruised, and battered. He hardly looks like my father. And of course, the mother, he was a big hulking man, and she thought, how am I going to bath? Do you remember the story? How am I going to bath my husband? And then the word got round in the community. This is in Australia. The word got round, and a particular guy by the name of Len, he came to their house, knocked at the door, and said, oh, g'day. I hear you got a bit of, some problems here. I just love to do what I can, eh? And so he came in, and the wife said, if you could bath my husband. And so Leonie just picked up this guy, and every day, this is rural Australia, every day, picked up this guy and bathed him. And, you know, little Tim, who was five, he said to himself, wow, that is the gospel of Jesus Christ in action. And he never forgot it. And he became a Christ follower, as did his whole family. And when that family was asked, what did it for you? What made you a Christ follower? They said, oh, one day a complete stranger from a local church came round, and he, for weeks and months, bathed our dad. Isn't that great? So word and deed, and finally, silence. Do you know, there was a survey taken in Australia last year, and the survey was taken of non-Christians in Australia, and the question was, why aren't you prepared to, you know, become a Christian? It was asked of non-Christians. And one of the questions was, oh, is it because of all of these atheists now, like Richard Dawkins and Hitchens and so forth and so on? And people said in the survey, nah, it's not because of all of these, you know, loudmouth atheists. That's why we're not willing to become Christians. So they pressed in the survey. Why were they not interested in becoming Christians? And they came up with what is called blocker issues. Blocker issues. B-L-O-C-K-E-R. Blocker. Block. Okay, blocker issues. And the three blocker issues for Australians are these. Some people in the survey said it's because of the church's stance on homosexuality. Because of the church's stance on homosexuality, I am not prepared to consider becoming a Christian. 25% in this survey said that. Well, if that's what you're going to do with homosexuals, you know, no, I'm not prepared to become a Christian. That was a blocker issue. The second one was hell. 29% said, not interested in Christianity because of your belief in hell. If that's what you guys believe, well, stuff it. 29. Do you know what the third blocker issue was? Church scandals. 55%. So, do you know what I do? I don't know what you do. But if I get a person who comes up to me and they mention in one of these blocker issues, do you know what I do? I shut up. And I just listen. I'll never forget. There was a young woman, and she asked to have coffee with me. And so I said, fine. And she said, oh. So we got past the chit-chat stage. And then I said, did you just want to continue to chit-chat, or was there something on your mind? And she said, oh, I just want to share with you, you know, I'm a lesbian. And I said to this young woman, I just love to hear your story. And so for the next hour and a half, I was absolutely silent. And then once the hour and a half was over, I said, I've got to go. And she looked at me and she said, you mean you're not going to say anything? I said, no, I've got to go. Do you know what she did next? She said, can we meet again? Did you get that? On blocker issues, especially initially, I'm silent. I don't have to have an argument. Are you with me? So, through word, through deed, through silence. We did have interesting conversations later down the piece, but not initially. How do we carry that which we know to be true and experience as true to other people? Through deed, through word, and sometimes through silence. Do you like it? Really? What do you most like about it? Tell the person next to you. Okay, friends, here we go. If we look at the latter part, hold on, Liz. Yep. I love it when I get that loud music intro. It just really makes me feel good. It says in that passage, it's fascinating, it says actually we're to carry this to Jerusalem. What was next? To Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Do you know some Christians, they have this idea, oh, we start at Jerusalem, then we go to Judea, then we go to Samaria, and then we go to where? The ends of the earth. And they have this idea like this. That's not the picture there. The picture is, oh, Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. All four going together. All at the same time, as it were. And do you notice what it says? It says, Judea and Samaria. Did you know that Judea and Samaria, they hated each other's guts? Did you know there was an ethnic rivalry between these two groups? And do you know what the world does? You know when you get two groups and they absolutely can't stand each other? Do you know what our world does? You've got to choose. You've got to choose one or the other. But in this passage, it says, no, no, you as Christians, you don't get into that game of choosing sides. It's like if we put it in today's world, you've got to be pro-Israel and pro-Palestine. Did you get that? And we carry what we believe and experience to be true to both Israel and Palestine. If we make it even local, we carry that which we know to be true and experience to be true to one side of Great South Road and the other. If we make it even more local, we carry that which we know to be true and experience to be true to Totara Park and Randwick Park. Don't you just love this? Is that right? So we've got to have a heart for the poor. Who would say amen to that? And a heart for the rich. Amen? Yeah. It's both. Yes? I'd love us as a church to have a heart for both. And to the ends of the earth. Let's watch this. Thanks. Yeah.
कहाँ है स्कूल छोटी चूंटने जाना है नहीं जाऊंगा तो जमींदार मारेगा सारा साल यही काम करता हूँ ये नहीं काम करूँ तो और क्या करूँ नहीं करता हूँ तो जमींदार मारता है छह बजे उठता हूँ और आता हूँ यहाँ काम करता हूँ, पैसे नहीं देता है। कहता तुमको रोटी मिलती है यही बहुत है। शाम के 6 बजे जाता हूँ।
उतां घाटी होसि ताईं 500 एकड़ ज़मीन मुंहिंजी आहे। निबन जो वारस मालिक आहियां। ॿारनि खे हिननि खां नंढा नंढा ॿार आहिनि, हुन खां वधीक ॿार कमाइनि था, पर वॾा जहिड़ो कमु थिए न कोन। मैं 100 रुपया ॾिता हुउसि कमाई खां। न न मेरो को डर नही लॻता। कयल कानूनी है त फिर मैं उसको हमारो कर्ज़ा दे दें, हम छोड़ देंगे।
ये ज़मीनदार ज़िंदगी ते काबू है, क्यों हमारा फसल का देता नहीं है कुछ। 100 रुपये मजदूरी ही देता है बस। और ये हमारी फुट्टी जा रही है 2.5 सुबह, फिर भी उसका कर्जा बढ़ता जा रहा है। हमारा पता नहीं कहाँ करता है। बच्चे 7-8 घंटे 9 घंटे सुबह सवेरे आते हैं, 6 बजे 7 बजे तक जिंदगी हमारी डाउन होती जा रही है। बस बच्चों का क्या होगा, जो कोई मदद करेगा तो बच्चे बच जाएंगे, ना तो मेरा ही हाल है, ऐसा ही होगा। और क्या, स्कूल है जमींदार छोड़ता नहीं है, नहीं छोड़ता है, नहीं जाओ हमारा काम करो।
असन कुत्ते मार कराए, कम कराए, पैसा ना दे। असि पढ़ा था, असन पढ़ा नहीं कोता दे। मोकल दे को तो कुट मारता दे, रोजान कम कराए जा कोड़े सजे। कुटी चून चून के थक जाता हूँ, फिर भी क्या करें। बड़े होके पढ़ना चाहता हूँ, वो पढ़ने नहीं देते, भागने देते नहीं है, कमरे में बंद करके मारते हैं। मैं काम थक गया था, मैं बैठा था, तू डंडा लेकर आया, मुझे बहुत मारा।
चलो जल्दी जल्दी चलो।
गरीबन को बाबा असांखे कोन ॾींदा, बेकूफ असांखे कोन थी सुञाणे। वॾेरे खे सुञाणनि त बेकूफ, वॾेरनि खे सुञाणनि त हर ॻाल्हि में वॾेरनि खे सुञाण था। असां गरीबन खे कोन था, असांखे ॾींहुं राति असां कोडरूम ॾेई छॾे धंधो पिया कयूं। असां ज़िंदगी कॾहिं कीअं कॾहिं यादि बाबनि जी सूरनि जी आहिनि पिया हलूं, पराए मोचड़नि हेठि पिया कमायूं पिया हलूं। बाबा छा कयूं, धंधे मां कमायूं पिया।
Okay. We've got some blue buckets. I'd like those to be passed around because we are a church for the people to the ends of the earth, be they people who are fighting against child labourers, fighting for child labourers against oppressors. Let's take up a special offering as the music.